We're going to turn to then Susan Geary, who is going to give us a PowerPoint presentation on, do you pronounce it Sevis or Sevis? That's one of the big issues out on the West Coast.
Sevis.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. This movement warms me up a little bit. Is there any votes out there to raise the temperature a degree or two? Oh, good. Thank you. I'm sitting back there going, okay, what else can I do without making people know I'm jumping around trying to warm up back here? So, thank you. We actually had a little problem with the presentation that it actually doesn't show up on my first page. It starts on the second page. So I'm just going to sort of do an introduction first and then dive right into the second page of the presentation. But I want to thank the Washington International Education Council for inviting, I'm sorry, my mouth is frozen too. Okay, inviting us to sit in on the panel and to discuss with you. We definitely look at these kind of opportunities as the best way to hear what it is that you would like to see Sevis happen in Sevis or happen in school certification, and gives us the opportunity to tell you the successes that we've achieved in the past year and where we're going in the future years. Definitely, we're a new program. We're a part of Immigration Customs Enforcement, which is a part of the, of course, Department of Homeland Security. The Student Exchange Visitor Program is a direct report to our Assistant Secretary, and of course, just recently we received our permanent Assistant Secretary, Julie Myers, as she was appointed a few weeks ago. She's a very energetic lady. She has some definite ideas of improvements that need to happen to the agency, and I'm looking forward to working with her and seeing which direction she would like to take. Takes the Student Exchange Visitor Program, some new ideas that she might have. So that's a new endeavor for us. But as an organization within ICE, being an enforcement part, we've always had a history of being more of a benefits or a service-oriented program. But we definitely take our position as a direct report to the Assistant Secretary as giving us the opportunity to do what we need to do to get back out to you guys and listen to what the concerns are. As a relatively new organization or program, we've been gaining momentum in the last year. We've been taking a look at what our issues are and resolving them as we move along. We couldn't have done this without the partnership of all of us in this room. We have several mechanisms for you to get your information to us, and we use that, and we take these kind of organizational discussions seriously and take them back to the program and make the changes that will make, if you're a Sevis user, make your life a little easier with enhancements to the system. If it's something in our process, we'll try to streamline it so that we can get through, such as our data fixes with the system, try to get through those a lot faster. We know that people picture Sevis as an intrusion of privacy, that it might be a deterrent for student enrollment, that the decline in student enrollment might be because of Sevis. We also know that those of us who were in Washington, D.C. or in New York on 9/11 never want to experience that again, and that Sevis is one of those necessary things that had to happen to change the process that needs to be in place so that we can prevent something of that scale or even prevent something of a smaller scale from happening again. What we try to do, because we know we want, as Prakash had mentioned, we want secure borders, but we also want open doors. We want to put that welcome mat back out there. We can't, what we do as a program, a student exchange visitor program, is try to find that balance. We try to put Sevis in that balance. We try to put the program in the balance. We know how important it is to keep the doors open so that the students and exchange visitors can come in, experience our education, and even we benefit from the cultural exchange that they bring to our country. But Sevis also has to be the system that maintains the information so that we know where they are in their studies, that they are indeed following a full course of study. But Sevis has worked hard in the last year to to find the direction, to find the focus, and to keep that direction and move forward with what we need to do next. Well, that is the front page, but when I put it on slideshow, it goes to the second page. All right, in the last year or so, we've meshed, we've grown a little closer together as an organization, as a student exchange visitor program. We've built a new vision, a new mission. This is the, how are we, here's our direction, here's our focus, how are we going to get there? And the thing we want to strive to is that vision, that goal out there that everything that we do is going to push us towards. And that is only legitimate foreign students and exchange visitors. I think there wouldn't be anyone in this room who would say we want people here not following the non-immigrant or immigrant rules that are in place. So it would make sense that in order to make sure we don't have to tighten regulations anymore, or experience another terrorist attack, that we look at it from the direction that our vision will be only legitimate students and visitors. Our mission, because we are so much of a system-oriented program, our mission is more of related to that, being enhancing national security by maintaining and providing reliable information that's timely, that's accurate information. If you're a CVIS user, you want to know that when you turn that system on, it's going to be there for you to use, so that if you have to update the system, it's there, it's available. You want to know that you're putting in the right information, that the action that you have to take in CVIS for a particular student, that it's in there and it's accurate, it's timely. The next couple of slides will go through some of our program successes, and then some of the other ways of how to get in touch with us. And I probably should have asked this at the beginning. Are most of you CVIS users or international student advisors, or do we have a pretty equal mix of embassy officials? How many embassy officials do we have here so I can keep it at a certain level? Okay, so it's more student advisors, I guess, and then it is embassy officials. For our CVIS accomplishments, we started the year last year knowing one of the highest priorities that we were always going to have is improving data integrity. We had three specific areas that we wanted to work on. Those of you who have used CVIS know of our CVIS help desk and, of course, the calling in to have CVIS data corrected. Back in April, we started a project where we had well over 6,000 backlog data fix tickets, and a backlog ticket was defined as anything over 90 days. We gave ourselves 6 months to get rid of eliminate all of those tickets. We actually successfully did that with 1 day to spare. And now we're at a point where we're driving toward having no help desk tickets over 10 days, that we would actually turn them around within 10 days. Some statistics as far as how many we completed in that time period. We started with 6,000, but actually in that six-month period, we completed well over 14,700 data fix tickets. And what that actually amounts to, because each ticket might have one individual's record on it, or it might actually have 25, 50, 500 individuals' records on it to be corrected. We actually corrected almost 26,000 records. So as far as data integrity goes, we know that at least 26,000 records were correct at one point when we corrected them in the system. At this point today, we have about 621 tickets left. And they're at about the 45-day turnaround time frame. So we're planning, as I said, to get it down to a 10-day turnaround. But we've also worked on a couple of other things as far as data integrity goes to improve what's happening in the system. One of them being our data share with other systems. I know many of you, and this is probably going to get a little technical for some, but many of you know that our port of entry information comes in from another system. Change of status information comes in from the USCIS. Port of entry, of course, information comes from the Customs and Border Protection. They are the ones who are at the ports. And it is those two systems that we interface with both CIS and CBP, that sometimes it's not timely or sometimes the information doesn't make it in at all. So that causes errors for the Cevis users, and then as a result, you call in your data fix tickets. At the last release that we made back in December, the 5.1 release, it made enough improvements to both sides, to the CIS side coming in and the port of entry side coming in, that we have nothing lower than a 75% matching rate. So you should be seeing, if you're a Cevis user, you should be seeing the port of entry information showing up, and you should be seeing the information coming in on change of status, at least from CIS. Again, 75% isn't successful, but last year we started at 30% as far as the port of entry information coming in. We're still working on those initiatives. We haven't reached, probably the closest to 100% that we've reached is the information that we share and receive from the Department of State through the non-immigrant visa data share that we received. That's about the closest to 100% that we do have. And we will continue to improve on that particular success. The other thing that we saw, the third thing we worked toward, was providing a correction functionality to Cevis users. It's limited. Our plan is to see how does this current limit ability work, and is it something that we can expand upon? And I'm happy to say since 5.2 release went into, or the 5.1 release went into effect back in mid-December, we were able to ascertain that at least 900 data fix tickets were avoided because you did have the correction functionality there. So not only are we happy that we have that functionality, we've avoided 900 data fix tickets, but we've successfully conveyed to you that the correction functionality is there, you've used it, and it's working. So we're definitely looking to see what else that we can do to add to more functionality. Upcoming Cevis releases, we have one coming up at the end of this week. It's planned to be at the end of the week. That's our release 5.2. This one particularly is going to be changing password issuance, brings it up to date with the department requirements, meaning it has to be between 8 and 16 characters. It has to have a number in it. It has to have a capital letter in it. It has all of those requirements. If you're a Cevis user, we have all of that information on our website. Please take a look at that, and I have the website in the PowerPoint later on. The other nice thing it does, and every once in a while I catch myself saying INS, but this particular release is going to eliminate INS and put in there DHS. We didn't see ICE as being the appropriate because it actually is a department enforcement tool, but we are replacing INS, and finally, almost 3 years later, reacting to the environment that we're in today. Release 5.3, that one really will have no impact to the user. It's more of a behind the scenes, and it is a security or system maintenance release. That one's slated later for this quarter, probably more like the February, March time frame. Release 5.4, right now we're scheduled for fall. If you happen to have exchange visitors or J visa holders at your school, this will be specifically the professor and J Scholar programs. This will affect you most. There was a regulation that the Exchange Visitor Program and Department of State released last June, I believe. And finally, with all of the functional requirements in Cevis being identified, we're able to actually release and put that change in regulations in effect by the fall. We'll also have additional Cevis alerts and lists. It's one of the things we're doing is reviewing the efficacy of the Cevis alerts that we provide to the Cevis users. We know that there's over 24, maybe 27 termination codes that aren't obvious to everyone as to what they should be used for. So it's one of the things we're doing is actually going over Cevis. What is it we can improve to make it easier for you to use? Our help desk, I'm sure most folks are familiar with how to reach our help desk. One of the things I wanted to do here was to show you that since it's the help desk implementation of July 2002, which was prior to the overall system deployment in January of 2003, there's been 310,000 calls to date. We average about 8,600 calls a month. Most of the calls come in the June, July, August timeframe prior to the big push of student entry in the fall. There is a customer satisfaction survey. If you happen to be a Sevis user and you call into the help desk, I definitely encourage you, please take advantage and respond to the survey. Right now, it looks like a 95% overall satisfaction, a little less than 1,000 surveys. But the only way we know what it is you need is if you tell us what it is you need and what it is that you're lacking. We cannot improve if we're not meeting your expectations. School certification, interesting little information, piece of information. There are, at least as of Friday afternoon, there were 8,319 schools certified to use Sevis and host foreign students. That is a number that's down from 72,000 when INS was still in existence, and we were running that school certification program in a decentralized manner. There were well over 72,000 on this master list that really nobody was keeping control over. With Sevis, what we've been able to do is eliminate duplicates, eliminate those schools that may have been certified, but they had a change in name, a change in ownership, might have been granted a new certification when actually it was just an update of an old certification. So we're down to about 8,300 schools that we feel very comfortable, truly belong in Sevis to host foreign students. Recertification is a review that's going to begin, requires a regulation for us to put in place. I would say it's the regulation that we're working on right now is still within the department and going through our review. Then, of course, just to go through the legalese that we need to do, it goes to the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB. They have up to 90 days to review, make any changes that they request. And then finally, we can publish it as a proposed rule. So we're hoping within the next 12 months, once it goes through proposed rule to final rule and is published, we can get recertification ongoing. Recertification being a requirement of the Enhanced Border Security Act that every 2 years, every school needs to go through another review by the agency that's responsible or has the authority for recertification, that falling under ICE. In the meantime, while we cannot do recertification reviews, we are revving up another part of our school certification program, and that is our compliance reviews. Usually it comes from a tip. Either sometimes it comes from somebody within the school that's been certified that doesn't like what it is that they're seeing. Sometimes it comes from the competition down the street saying, you might want to take a look at this school. I don't think they're doing something right. Usually it's in reaction to somebody's tip or lead coming into the office. And what we'll do is we'll send a team out to the school. We announce it. We tell folks that we're coming out, what it is we're looking for. And then we'll do a review and we'll follow up, usually either saying something needs to be corrected or we'll schedule an interview with them over the phone. But we are getting to the point where we're finding schools that truly they're the ones that are not bringing in students to study. They're bringing in students to either sort of go through a class or two a semester, but then mostly they're here for working purposes. So as our compliance reviews really begin to move forward, we'll probably be providing more statistics on those schools that we've actually withdrawn from Sevis certification. Another item I just want to cover briefly with school certification, it's a lesson learned from Hurricane Katrina. Within, I'll say, 24 hours of the levees actually breaking in the city, we had sent out an email to all the schools in the tri-state area. We had gone through Sevis. We had used the email addresses that were on the school application, the I-17. For the most part, we received some notification back within the first week saying, we're going to be operational, but we're going to start maybe 2 weeks later than normal, or no, we're not going to be operational at all this particular semester. But one of the things we learned is we really can rely on the school officials, the designated school officers. If we can reach you, you can reach us. And what we advise at this point is please, if you haven't taken a look at your I-17 application, what you sent into the government when you were initially certified, please do so on a regular basis. If a designated school officer leaves and you replace them, please update your information. Other information, of course, addresses, change of ownership, anything like that, please do that as soon as you know it's a change to your application information and send that in through SEVIS. The other thing we learned is a lot of the schools, New Orleans has some major colleges, but they also have some very small private or public high schools, and they only had one DSO mentioned. If you're a particularly small school, please consider using more than one DSO, because if we can't reach that one person, then we can't reach that particular school to let them know how much we can assist them in a particular crisis, or it's just good sense to have more than just one DSO on the list for us to contact. The question on regulations, of course, with SEVIS pulled out of the legacy INS benefits part, the only thing that actually came with us was any kind of regulations that had to go with SEVIS or any kind of regulations that went with school certification. The one thing I can say is that we have a very healthy relationship with the USCIS policy folks over in that the various offices that they have. One of the things that we work toward with data integrity and reporting requirements so that school officials know what it is they need to update in the system is to clarify those regulations, as Prakash mentioned. Sometimes you can read it and not understand what it is that the regulations are saying. They've actually not changed in years. They haven't changed since 9/11. The requirements that you see in the 8 CFR for students haven't changed. The only thing that's changed is SEVIS is there requiring you to actually take an action on that particular student. So what we're trying to do is we're identifying the types of regulations that need to be changed. For us, definitely school recertification needs to be up there. We're taking a look at, I think it's 214.3, which is the school certification regulation. Shortly, I'd say within a year, I'll be seeing a proposed reg on that, on how we would like to reorganize that particular regulation, clarify it, clean it up. But the other things that we're doing, if we're not working on regulations, we're working on what we call SEVIS operating instructions, or I believe our website actually says frequently asked questions. What we do is we take an issue such as traveling or employment, and we work proactively with CIS or with CBP if it happens to be a port of entry issue. We come up with, it's either questions that come from conferences like this or questions we receive through our website that are frequently asked and we feel would lend toward a clarification. So we're working, I believe we've identified up to about 36 different levels of SOIs we would actually like to get written and published on our website. The ones that we have here already on our website, anything on a SEVIS I-901 fee collections, travel, school certification, employment, and of course our Hurricane Katrina and Rita frequently asked questions. Things that we're planning in the future and hope to get published this year, additional information on employment such as optional practical training and curricular practical training, Social Security tax information, updated travel, how to stay in status, and transfers. Actually, transfers are very close to being put up on the web. We just need to get some final concurrences. But we definitely look at this as a two-way communication, two-way discussion. Yes, we can put things on our website, but we definitely need that other direction of communication coming at us. So our continued outreach initiatives, where we are committed to meeting with organizations, with schools one-on-one if need be. We have our, we skipped a slide. Our outreach and training efforts, standard method is our website, ice.gov/SEVIS. If you haven't bookmarked that, if you're an embassy official and you haven't taken a look, please do so. This definitely has information that will assist prospective students who wish to come over, what it is they need to do, especially as far as paying the fee. We have a very comprehensive fee payment, frequently asked question on the website. Back in August, we deployed our web-based training module. It is a basic training module. Our plan is to have something advanced within the next year. Surprising statistic there is the first day of deployment, we had a 2,000% increase of hits on our website. So we're getting the news out there, and you guys really were listening to what it is that you need, and we're providing you what we feel would best suit your needs today.
How do you reach out and help administrators deal with that very change, that very big change in their duties?
One of the things that we have put in place is a liaison with our enforcement counterparts within ICE. We have an individual who works in the compliance enforcement unit, and that's the unit that actually will take leads from the SEVA system. And once they've looked at them here at headquarters, they will send them out locally for the special agents to take a further interest in if they have to actually interview the student, go on campus. One of the things that the CEU liaison will do is actually make sure they'll contact the school. They'll make sure this is a legitimate lead. We do not want investigators going on campus, investigating a student, making them more nervous, making you more nervous if they're coming on campus for no reason at all. Plus, if anything, it's efficiently looking at our own processes. We have a limited number of agents within the ICE agency, so there's only so many things that they can do. So we try to streamline the process up front and actually have our liaison take a look at the leads and only the legitimate leads that have a question pertaining to the student will actually go out to the field. That is one way that we've decided to try to eliminate the unnecessary leads that come out of SEVIS. The other way that I know that our compliance enforcement unit is actually looking at is working with your campus police. I believe there's a national organization, maybe I want to say it's Law Enforcement Campus Police, but that just sounds too easy. But it's a particular organization that they are working with. They would prefer to maybe contact either the campus police first, or they know they have access to SEVIS, who the school officials would be that they could contact. They want to do that sort of contact first before actually going on campus. But what it is that we're trying to do is just ensure that only leads are going out that legitimately need to be followed up. And it is true that now school officials are being asked to be basically an officer, or try to find a nice term. But
Deputy G-Man?
I don't want to say an agent of the government, but technically that truly is what it is that you have become if you're a SEVIS user. Once you've signed that I-17 application, you're signing on to actually say that you understand the regulations, you know how to make the regulations happen in SEVIS, so to speak, that you know what actions need to happen in SEVIS to update the records for the individuals. That signature and your principal designated school official signature is saying that you understand that and you are committing to that. So it is an extra step. It is something additional. We have tossed around ideas of how we can possibly certify school officials. That is an idea that is so far down the road that other than just being an idea, I really can't speak more on it. Possibly in a year or so, we can speak a little more about what it is that we plan to do with that. But it's a concept where maybe there would be somebody in an area that you could, as a SEVIS user, you could report to say for more assistance, more training, what it is that they could do to assist you, or who it is that could be kind of like the people who what is it, the term I'm looking for? It's the people who, notary publics. Those guys that are kind of certified to specifically do an action. So we're looking to see if we want to go in that direction. The other thing that we plan to do this year is put together a SEVIS liaison program. These would be folks who would actually be out in the field working hand-in-hand with the school officials, providing as much assistance as possible, any kind of on-the-job training, any kind of understanding of regulations, outreach, any kind of issues that you have locally that you would like to raise to them, through them to the headquarters or national program office.
Susan, just hearing your comments, fundamentally this changes the role of the International Student Advisor completely. I don't think many of us see ourselves as government agents one way or the other. I think we see ourselves as educators. And what this tends to do is change that role dramatically. I don't know whether or not any of the educators who signed the I-17 see themselves as being directly employed by the federal government. We all receive our checks through either the state or private institutions. And so as you add more restrictive philosophical concepts to our jobs, that changes what we do. And that, I think, needs to be addressed from the leadership from the institutions that we work for, mm-hmm. as well as the government. And I don't know where that interplay has, or that discourse has taken place. So I throw that out to you.
And maybe that's something that we can take on and begin to discuss closely with either organizations such as this particular council or other, say, higher education organizations like NAFSA. I do know that the information could not get into CVS without the CVS users. There's no other way to get that kind of a detailed information into the system. And the way the system is currently built, there's no other grand location of information that could be put into the system. So until we can find some other way to enter the biographical information, it's going to have to rely on the CVS users, the school officials, to actually enter the information.
I have a couple of suggestions, though. You mentioned that the F1 student regulations have not changed since 9/11, and you also mentioned quite candidly and refreshingly in your candor that you can read the regulations and not quite understand them. There are many instances where it's an iffy question as to whether the student has violated status. And given that USCIS is still the determining party in maintenance of status or violation of status, it would seem to me that your organization, in partnership with CIS and the leadership of the academic institutions, could do more outreach directly to students to tell them what's right and what's wrong so that the bright lines are there. I'm not sure that that's part of your mission, but I noticed in your mission statement you said only legitimate students. It would be nice if you said welcoming only legitimate students, at least put on a more gentle, kinder face so that the students know what the ground rules are, and it's not a matter of the educators being seen as snitches, mm-hmm. but rather the educators being contract enforcers. This is the contract of your right to come to America, follow the rules, and you'll have no problems.
Right.